Good morning. It is a joy to be here. We have come to worship and praise our God, to strive to do His will, to walk faithfully before Him. Our God created us for His pleasure, and He is worth all the glory and praise. Amen.
Amen.
Could you imagine being in a prison with no bars, no guards, no walls? Would it feel like prison? How would you even know if you were there? Do you know there are things in life that imprison us, that bind us, that we do not see? What about being binded as we go through life by habits? You're bound by habits which you want to change, but you just can't. What about being bound as we walk through life to things that we hate, things that we wish we did not do, things that cause us to sin against our God? Do you know that we can be bound and never realize it? Not realizing that we're bound to things which we wish we did not do? Do you know that we can be bound to sin without realizing it? That we can be bound to things that God hates and not even know it at times? Because we sin and we don't realize it. Or we never even think about it. We just do the things we desire to do, and it just slips our mind that they may be sinful against our God, and we go ahead and do them anyway. Do I strive to walk before Jesus and do His will? You know, in prophesying about the Messiah, Isaiah said in Isaiah 61 verse 1, "Then the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound." He wasn't only speaking about getting people out of prison physically, but releasing people from prison spiritually, releasing those who are bound to sin if they will come to Him and do His will. Jesus came to set us free. Are you willing to walk through the cell door that Jesus has already unlocked? This morning, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're in the middle of a series of confrontations of Jesus in the temple. The Apostle John records 8 times in his gospel account that Jesus was confronted while in the temple of the Lord God Almighty, where He should have been honored, but He was dishonored. And I want us to begin this morning by asking the question, do we have true faith? Well, what is true faith? Doesn't everyone who have faith believe their faith is true? Well, how do you know? Do you know the difference between fickle faith and genuine faith? Fickle faith is a faith that can change instantly, a faith that is not constant. John introduces fickle faith in his gospel account. In John chapter 2, verses 23-25, it says, "Many of the Jews believed in Jesus because they saw the miracles. But it also says Jesus would not commit Himself unto them because He knew what was in their heart." Or what about John chapter 6, verses 60 and following, where many of Jesus' disciples turned and walked away because He spoke a discourse of which they just found unreasonable, and their faith changed just like that, from walking after Him to turning and walking away. And in our lessons text today, we're going to notice, again, the Jews have fickle faith. That is faith that is not genuine. So Jesus has to set the record straight of what true faith is. Look at John chapter 8, verse 31. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" That if you abide in My word, that you hold to My word, that you remain in My word. Jesus said there were Jews who believed, But he tells them, this is what is required if you're going to believe in me. You have to hold to my teachings and be faithful unto them and live according to them. Well, as he says, you will abide in my word, then you are my disciples. You know, one of the things that faith requires is perseverance. That's genuine faith. When we stay in Jesus' word and we persevere through hard times and good, as we walk after him and strive to do his will. I find it interesting that Jesus was never interested in just amassing numbers of disciples. He was more concerned about amassing genuine disciples. And often he let the multitudes turn and walk away, because he was only after disciples who would truly believe in him, who would be genuine in their faith. Well, to possess true faith, I must be united in Christ, the truth. The truth came by Christ and in Christ. And I must be united to Jesus. Do you remember in John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. The only way to go to the Father today is through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the truth to eternal life. Am I a true disciple of Jesus Christ my Lord? I must not only hear his words, I must be united to him. Can I say I am in Christ today? Can I say I'm a genuine disciple and not a fickle one? Well, then that leads to the question, or do my actions lead, or my actions reveal that I'm a slave of sin? What do my actions reveal? You know, Jesus is offering freedom here. The assumption is the Jews are in bondage to sin. And Jesus emphatically, the Jews emphatically denied they were ever enslaved to anyone. What about Egyptian bondage? They were there for 400 years. What about Assyrian captivity? What about Babylonian captivity? What about the bondage they were under at that time over under Roman oppression? But they said, we've never been in bondage to anyone. Have you ever lied to keep from confronting the truth? Have you ever refused to acknowledge the truth because it would make you look guilty? These Jews didn't want to hear they were in bondage to sin. You know, pride gets in the way of a lot of things. And pride can actually get in the way of us being genuine disciples and walking faithfully before our Lord. On another occasion, the Jews were convinced that they were physically whole and well, and they were in no need of a physician. Didn't realize Jesus was talking about spirituality. Here, Jesus said, you need to be set free. He's not talking about physical bondage. He's not talking about political bondage, economic bondage. He's talking about being free from sin. That Jesus has come to free us from walking in sin and walking after him. Jesus says in verse 33, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, he's not talking about just committing one sin and repenting and getting back up. He's talking about persisting in sin. A sin that you continually do. A sin you live in. Do we have sins that we're living in today? Are you in bondage to a sin that you just can't stop? Has a sin from your past kept bothering you and will not leave you alone? Well, Jesus says anyone who lives in sin is a slave to sin, that vicious slavery to moral failure. Slavery to things that go against the teachings of God. Many people are in bondage to sin today. How many people wish they had never taken a drink? How many people have a drug problem that they just can't quit? What about being bound to gossip or envy or rage? There are so many things that bind us, of which we need to stop. We need to come out of this. We need to walk faithfully before God. But so many times we feel trapped. I try and try and try, and I fall over and over and over back into it. You know, you get to where you think, I just cannot overcome this sin in my life. Well, the scriptures teach you may not overcome that sin alone. Why did James say, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed? He said some sins, to overcome them, you've got to share them with another brother or sister in Christ so they can encourage you, so they can strengthen you, so they can hold you accountable to help you put the sin out of your life. And Jesus says that if you're going to come after me, you have to walk in my teachings and live according to them daily, and that means coming out of sin. We need help. Why do you think Alcoholics Anonymous is so successful in helping people overcome alcoholism? Why do people go to counseling? Because they realize they cannot come out of it alone. Look at John chapter 8 in verses 35 and 36. And notice what Jesus says. To help them understand, he says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the son sets you free, he brings up this analogy between a son and a slave. Well, what is the status of slaves? A slave can be in a family for years and years and years and then turn around and be sold. A son will always be a son and remain in the house forever. Well, the son Jesus is referring to is himself, the Son of God. And because Jesus is the Son of God, he has unique rights. And one of those is Jesus has the power to liberate slaves. Jesus has the power to release our bondage to sin if we will remain in his teachings. In verse 38, he says, Jesus says, I speak of what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They were falsely claiming Abraham is our father, therefore we're never in bondage. We're free from everything. But Jesus is rightly claiming his right as his Father being the Lord God Almighty. And so he's telling them, you do what you hear from your Father. And the Jews totally missed it here. They didn't realize he was talking about their father, the devil. So do I know whose child I am? Do I know who I'm walking after? Look at verse 39 through 42. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. And this is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father. They said to him, wink, wink, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said to them, verse 42, plus my pages are coming out of my Bible. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Jesus says, oh, you claim Abraham to be your father, but you're doing the works of your father. Again, they miss what is going on. Jesus has already emphasized in our lesson last week that moral relationship and spiritual kinship is the only kind of relationships that matters. Am I in a relationship with God? Or they claim to be children of Abraham. But Jesus says a Jew is one who is one inwardly, not just outwardly in the flesh. He says, you're of your children, you're children of your father. And they say, we were not born of sexual immorality. They believe that Mary had sex with someone before she came together with Joseph. Thus, Jesus was an illegitimate child. He says, you're not of your father, Abraham. Abraham heard the voice of a God and obeyed. He heard it, he believed, he obeyed it, and he lived by it. He goes, that's not what you're doing. If you were like Abraham, you would obey the voice of God that's coming from me. But since you don't love me, then you cannot be the children of Abraham. Well, question. Am I acting like my father? What do my actions reveal? Am I just as blindsided as the Jews were here, not recognizing who their father was? How am I living? Does my life reveal I'm living for God? Or does my life reveal something else? You know, paternity in the spiritual realm is determined by right conduct, right belief, and transparent love. So my conduct reveals who my father is. What I believe reveals who my father is. And whether or not I love God and love each other and love one another reveals who's my father. What's important is what is on the inside, not what's on the outside. What was happening here is their fickle mob psychology, that they had believed Jesus as long as it agreed with their prejudice. But the moment Jesus taught something of which they disagreed, then he's not the Son of God. He's not giving us the words of God. Anytime their religion was questioned, they went into a rage. What makes me a child of God? Well, look what John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. He says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So here we're right out told whose actions identify to which father. As we walk after God, we must strive. Jesus finally came out and said, you're acting like your father, the devil. He has to flat out tell them, your father is the devil. And that did not go over well at all. He says, your traits reveal that. Look at chapter 8. Verse 44, what he tells them. He says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He says, you're just like your father the devil, and he identifies traits of the devil that they're exhibiting themselves. He said the devil was a liar from the beginning, probably referring all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Satan tempted Eve. Remember, God said, you shall surely die if you eat of this one tree. Satan said, you shall surely not die. So either God or the devil was lying. Well, it certainly wasn't God, because John believed the principle that God cannot lie. So it had to be the devil who was lying. And he says, you're acting just like the devil because you're lying too. He says the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Again, referring to the Garden of Eden. Because of the devil, all men were destined to physically die. And he says, you're acting just like that because you're trying to murder me. Now look at the traits you're exhibiting and tell me who your father is. Do we need someone to tell us, look at the traits you're exhibiting and tell me who your father is? Jesus is telling them, you're not acting like sons of Abraham. Abraham walked in all righteousness, and you're not. So the Jews didn't like it, and they accused Jesus of being a Samaritan and demon-possessed. Anyone who would even think about questioning a Jew that is a Jew about his paternity, that had to be by demon possession. Anyone who was against the Jews had to be of the no good Samaritans. So when they cannot win the argument or the statements that Jesus is putting forth, they turn and attack him. Have you ever done that in arguing with someone? You're losing, so you turn and attack their character. You turn and attack something evil to put them in their place. The Jews are trying to do that to Jesus. Jesus says, my behavior is not from arrogance. My behavior is not from dementia or Samaritanism or the occult. My behavior is what I say and do, and it comes directly from God himself. The only thing I'm doing is obeying my Father, and you are not. Jesus tells them that he is doing all the Father gives him to do. So the question comes up, and Jesus tells them, I do not seek glory for myself. I only seek the glory of God. Well, do I desire glory from others? Do I desire others applaud me? Do I desire others think and verbally express how great I am? Do I desire to be sure I get credit for everything I do? Do I seek the glory of myself? Jesus says, I only seek the glory of God. That's the only thing that matters, people. Is am I walking faithfully before God, and am I seeking after his glory and not my own? Jesus says, I don't glory for myself. Well, they said, now wait a minute. Look what you say. Look back in verse 51. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he will never see death. They thought, what do you mean they'll never see death? Abraham obeyed God. He heard him, obeyed him, lived by his teaching, and Abraham died. The prophets heard, obeyed, and taught the word of God, and they died. And you want to tell us that your word has greater power than the words of Abraham and the words of prophets who heard directly from God? You want to tell us whoever hears your words will never taste death? Right over their heads again. Jesus wasn't talking about you will never physically die. He was saying you will never spiritually die. You will never experience eternal separation from God and his love, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. That when you die, you will go on to live in eternity in a blessed state with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But if you do not heed my words and obey them and live by them, oh yes, you're going to taste death. You're going to taste eternal death. Prepare for the devil and his angels, out of the presence of God forevermore. It doesn't matter how loud you cry out in prayer to God. He won't hear you. Because you did not heed his word and live by it. So question, whose child am I? Am I a child of the Heavenly Father? Or am I a child of the Prince of the world? You know, Jesus concludes this discourse by one more time stating his deity. He says, I am. Do you believe that Jesus is the great I am? Does your faith reveal it? Do you need to express your faith this morning by coming to Jesus and acknowledging sin in your life of which you desire to repent and seek God's forgiveness? Are you ready to express your faith this morning by being baptized into Christ Jesus our Lord to have your sins washed away by His blood, to arise and walk in life as a child of God, standing there of eternal life with your elder brother? If you need to express your faith to make your life right with God today, we encourage you to respond to the front now as we stand and sing.